I had dreams about like only one. I ain't gonna lie, I wish I was better than the other guy.
Hello, my name is Eunice Skeet and welcome to the first episode of the PD Podcast. The PD Podcast stands for the Personal Development Podcast and it's part of a wider student set up and run project called the PD Project. And the PD Project consists of the podcast and the blog, and they're dedicated to everything personal development and productivity from a student's perspective. So today I'm joined by student speakers.
Hi, I'm Charlie.
And Patrick Sullivan.
And I work with Patrick through Bristol Futures, and Charlie's just one of my close friends. So today we really just wanted to talk about the vision for the PD Project and the PD Podcast in particular, and introduce our numerous prospective audience to the idea of investing in your personal development and investing in your productivity. And hopefully we can start this journey to achieve that and to grow together. So seeing as the PD Project did grow from Bristol Futures, I have invited Patrick here today to talk to us a bit about what Bristol Futures does, how it can benefit students, and where it sits within the university.
Yeah, so Eunice and I, we work together on the engineering team of Bristol Futures, which is sort of how I see it as a student engagement project from the university. It's one of their big three challenges over the next few years, with Campus Heart as well, which they're developing a lot around. I think it's really important that our student advocates are so present in the project, that we organise our own sort of work and we decide where the next steps are, because, you know, it's one thing for lecturers, you know, organisers from university to talk to students, but just to get us talking to each other about our both our studies and our personal sort of aspects of university just makes it a little bit more wholesome and just more welcoming community, really. That's where I see Bristol Futures as a great project, and it's also why I see this as something that can hopefully grow.
Okay, so you mentioned we're student advocates. Just to anyone that has no idea what Bristol Futures is, I'm a student advocate myself, but we're sort of a team of students hired by the university representing different faculties. And tell us about some of the things we deliver then, how our listeners can interact with Bristol Futures and what they can seek to get from it.
Yes, so the two main projects or sort of ongoing aspects of Bristol Futures are study skills and PDP. And so study skills, there's weekly, sometimes two a week sessions with drop-ins where advocates are there just to sort of talk through some basic issues you might be having, just to sort of make a first step to vocalising any problems you might have, and then the students can redirect you to the right person, whether that's one of the study skills students themselves or just help out find someone in your faculty that's worth talking to. And then the PDP aspect for Bristol Futures in general is personal development planning, and there's some introductory workshops and follow-up workshops organised and run sort of by one member of staff and then students. So it's a really good way to engage with other students in your faculty.
And all of this is available on Blackboard. There's a Bristol Futures Study Skills tab right in the top right, I'm trying to imagine, where you can find basically all that information. Hopefully in the future there will be links to the PD Project. But the PD Project, it is a Bristol Futures initiative. It was set up by myself and a few of the other advocates, but it wants to almost stand alone and stand aside from Bristol Futures, in the sense that, as Patrick, you mentioned, Bristol Futures offers a lot by way of PDP, personal development planning. But I found personally, it was very career-based, and it was almost university-prescribed. It was very, develop your employability, showcase your skills, get a great CV, get where you want career-wise in life. I think a university which gives those provisions is definitely great, but I think on the day-to-day, more students need more of an engagement with the personal side of personal development and personal development planning and productivity. And that's where the PD Project aims to sit. How it started, it was a chat with one of my managers about what is Bristol Futures, and none of the Bristol Futures student advocates seem to quite know what that is, but I realised it was very engaged. It was very turn up to our workshops. Brilliant workshops, by the way. I've delivered quite a few. I recommend people to turn up. But turn up to our workshops and do this and do that and have these take homes. But that's not necessarily the way I thought we would engage the most amount of people. Not everyone, perhaps yourself, you can relate, would be comfortable stepping that far out of your comfort zone, perhaps, and turning up to a workshop to talk with a group of strangers and invest in your future that way. So I guess the PD project sort of came about as a widening participation movement. We wanted to reach out to the people who didn't necessarily feel like they could or they wanted to be as proactive, and we wanted to offer any student, really, University of Bristol or wider, an opportunity to hear students talk about their own personal development, maybe to give you an idea. But I think it's important in a platform like the PD Project with the PD podcast and the blog that it's accessible when you want, as you want. You take what you want from it. There's no university narrative prescribing we want our students to think this way, we want our students to look like this. So it aims to be quite natural. But moving forwards then, as I said, my friend Charlie would like to share her story that she shared with me, and I think it really did redefine the way I wanted the PD project to go, because what we don't want the PD project to be is a bunch of uber productive, uber go-getters of students sitting there about how they wake up at 6 a.m. and manage to fit in 8-hour days and then 3 hours in the gym and just achieve. What we want the PD project to really do is to sort of just say, I'm a student, this is where I am, I feel this way about it, and I want this. So we don't want to come across as intimidating or come across as you need to be brilliant already to invest in your PDP, because none of us are. So Charlie, could you give us a tiny bit of a background about yourself and an introduction to your PDP
journey?
Yeah,
sure. So, you know, so when you kind of came to me and said, oh, I've got this idea about a podcast and personal development and productivity, I was like, crikey, he's doing something else on top of his degree and his job and his achievements and careers, and you know, you're so driven. But I thought it was great, but I just kind of thought, in the place I was in at that point, you know, it's been a rough couple of years, I'm not sure I'd even have the energy to go on to Blackboard and listen to it and listen to all these people talk about how they have a colour-coded personal planner. And I really admire that kind of stuff, I do. But sometimes it's just a huge achievement to get out of bed in the morning or to wake up or to do anything. And it's really important that that element of personal development is talked about. So my experiences over the last couple of years have definitely shaped how I see personal development. I used to see it as very career-based, you know, very achievement-based. But everything I've gone through over the last couple of years has changed that. I just wanted to provide a quick trigger warning for anyone that might be listening that has had experiences with sexual assault or mental health. I will be talking about that. I came to Bristol last year, so I'm in my second year at the moment. And at the end of Freshers Week, I was unfortunately badly sexually assaulted. And it just changed everything about how my first year went. I sank into anxiety, depression. I was hardly keeping on top of work, hardly getting out of bed. You know, it was exacerbating many existing issues that I kind of used to be able to deal with and try and work through, but you know, it was hard to get out of bed, and it has been for a while. Yeah, I struggled with my mental health all through last year. I came to the second year in September, and I really wanted to make a good go of it. I started planning out how I was going to spend my days, you know, fully at the library and doing my exercise and all of this stuff. And I got 3 days in, and I just kind of collapsed. I couldn't do it. I ended up just staying in bed all the time, feeling awful, utterly lacking in motivation, incredibly sad. I started a series of anti-anxiety medication, which gave me horrific side effects for about a month. I was so dizzy every time I stood up. I was nauseous. I felt more anxious than I'd ever been in my life. eventually that started to wear off, and just as soon as I kind of thought, you know what, maybe I can do this, I got back into lectures. I was about 3 weeks behind, and I just kind of realised I really, really can't do this. I don't want to be here. The effort it took to get out of bed, walk up the Hark Street and go into a lecture was huge, but every time I was sat there, I would have a panic attack. My anxiety was through the roof. I felt like I was going to be sick. I just sat there and I thought, why am I doing this? Why am I jumping through these hoops to get to a goal that I'm not even really sure I want anymore? You know, I was studying politics, so I decided, and it was a really hard decision, to suspend my studies. And I'm not sure if I'm going to go back. I want to go back, but I suspended my studies, and it was the biggest relief. I mean, it was a really difficult decision, and my whole life has been so academically driven that I just felt like I was losing a huge part of my identity. But I got through it, and I started to realise it was the right decision. And then at the beginning of December, my boyfriend, who I'd been with for just over a year, I found out that he had cheated on me, and we ended up breaking up. And obviously for anybody, that's a really hard thing to go through. But given all of my emotional turmoil from the months previous, it just really, really knocked me back. I went to stay with my parents for a little while just to recuperate. And I started talking to you, Eunice, about personal development and how I saw it and how I've reevaluated my goals and how I see myself and what personal development is over the last couple of months. And even having the energy to think about that has been hard and something that's come really gradually. So I think it's just really, really important with this podcast, and I was so glad you asked me to be on it, that it isn't just about, you know, how to get the most into your day. It's about just to have how to have a day, you know, and it's okay to have personal development as something different, because you talked about three strands of this Bristol Futures or personal development, this, you know, career and professional stuff and the personal bit, but none of it can happen without the personal bit, I think. So yeah, that's my kind of story and experience, and I think it gives me a different perspective on personal development, certainly to the one I had a few months ago.
I think it gives a crucial perspective on personal development, one that I think everyone can take from, because you touched on why you were doing things, you touched on not feeling that the path that you were on was necessarily suited to you at times, and you touched on how you had to change your views and your expectations of yourself to make, excuse the phrasing, but to make living with yourself so much more fulfilling, because that is what it comes down to. Everyone sort of has a way that they view themselves, and what I don't think we realise is we put a huge amount of pressure on ourselves to be a certain way. As you said at the start, I remember instantly being taken back at how driven Charlie was with her politics, with everything she does, and how invested in everything she was. But that didn't change, I'd say, over the past year. None of that changed.
Yeah. One of the sort of most surprising things for me is that because I've spent almost my entire life completely defining my identity with academics and academic achievement, that when I told some of my closest friends that I was suspending, they just kind of said, oh, okay, I hope you're all right. And it really made me realise that other people don't just see me the way I see myself, as a grades machine. You know, it's, they see me in a very different way. And because I'd gone through the whole of first year, you know, scraping passes, which is something I'd never experienced before. I'd always worked so hard and got the best grades, and then to go to just scraping passes, I felt like a complete failure. But it made me realise that other people see other parts of me, and it's been really difficult to focus on those parts and to realise that they are valid and okay, and that I don't need to go and be in the UN by the time I'm 25 in order to have a good impact on the world. And you know, sometimes I still wake up and I want to go back to uni and get the best, you know, first in the entire cohort and go straight into the civil service and all this stuff. And I, you know, have a successful career. But the pressure's just ridiculous, you know? Everything I've ever been proud of in my entire life has required effort. Mm. And everything I've given myself credit for has required effort. And in the last year or so, getting out of bed has required effort. But why haven't I given myself credit for that?
Definitely.
So one of the biggest improvements in my mental health has been allowing myself to feel proud for getting out of bed and making a cup of tea if it's really difficult to do. Because why shouldn't I if I felt proud for other things I've put effort into in my life?
Yeah. Patrick, just getting maybe your opinion on what I've taken from Charlotte's story is it's a story of self-awareness. It's a story of understanding the situation you are in, how that's affecting you, and where you want to take it. And what struck home with me is something I think I'd been introduced to in a different context, and it's the idea of creating your own definition for success. Charlie, you said at the start it was your politics and your feminism and your degree, but as things were happening, that changed. And I think if you don't create the vision of success for yourself, either someone else will for you, or you'll be pursuing a goal which isn't necessarily in your best interest. So Patrick.
Yeah, one of the things that really struck me about your story was how early the sexual assault was in your time in Bristol. I think that's, you know, you come looking for a second home, and I think both of us have come from sort of a lot less exciting places than Bristol, and we are these huge fish in small places. And then we come to Bristol University and are surrounded by huge fish. And I always expected to be really excited about that. And in aspects I have been, but in a lot of others, it's frightening. And then you find this sort of, you're trying to find this second home, and to have that horrible story happen to you in first week, you know, horrible, somebody doing this to you, it takes so much to get your head around that and understand that, and then, you know, build a home here. And really, you talk about friends from home and your closest friends who've known you before you were smart in all senses of management, before you used to sit down and do work when you were just you. Yeah. And I think that's really important, is that people you've grown up with see so many different dimensions to you. And in Bristol, when you move and you come to a new place, people do see you for then, you know, first year politics student, or, you know, Eunice and myself are engineering students of the highest stature, and we're all, you know, bravado and, you know, amazing, wonderful people who have come to Bristol to do wonderful things. But, you know, that's one part of us, and one part, you know, if we're unable to continue our studies, there is so many other parts that we can improve and work on, and you know, it just, you're moving on your own timeline. I think that's really important to understand, and you know, you should feel proud when you do anything that requires that you know, step in a direction. Mm. And I think while we're surrounded by big fish, you know, all of us are susceptible to comparison, when actually we really just need to wake up in the morning and think, okay, what can I do today that I want to do, I can be proud of, and I'm able to do.
Definitely.
In me as I am today, not you know, 16-year-old me's thoughts of what I'd be like when I was 22, but, you know.
Yeah, and accepting that if you think you can do something that day, and then you really can't, if you can't do anything, it's okay. And your mention of the word timeline, I think it's really important, because I just had such a set timeline in my head, and I think so many people do, and actually, you know, the university does, and sometimes it's not a bad thing, because we need structure, but why on earth do we have this timeline where we finish school, and then we go to university and carry on in more education, and then we jump through more hoops, and go into a job or a graduate scheme, and we jump through some more hoops, and then, you know, we need to be on this pay scale or this level of management, or we need to have completed so many projects. It just feels kind of insane to me, because I don't think that I'm going to be on my deathbed wishing that I'd stuck to that timeline. Yeah. It seems so rigid when you really think about it, and it's so much pressure. And I thought that taking this year off, you know, I was terrified. And it's not taking it off, it's recovering. But I was terrified, because I was like, well, this has ruined everything, I won't graduate next year, etc., etc. And then I thought, in 20 years, in 5 years, is this going to matter?
Yeah.
Probably not. And, you know, when I had the pressure of trying to go to university and doing work on top of everything, the idea of being able to come and speak on this podcast, being out of bed before 1 p.m, would not even have crossed my mind. But now I'm able to do some things that might help others. And the only reason I ever wanted to study politics in the first place is to go into the world and try and make some positive change and help others.
Yeah.
And it's accepting that, you know, I probably can't stop climate change and get rid of poverty, but maybe I can volunteer in the cancer research shop for an hour a week if I'm not incredibly mentally stressed from university and everything else.
Yeah.
You have to reevaluate sometimes, and it's okay.
I think, yeah, part of that comes down to, in some ways it can be a blessing, but in others it really can be a curse, having such a clear vision of what you think success is. And most of the time, I think just as important, if not more important, is to think not what success looks like, but what does success feel like. And more often than not, those are completely different things. It's not running out of your city, your school, straight into university, straight into a graduate scheme, straight into the 9 till 5 or the 8 till 7 that it looks like for certain people.
Definitely.
But I think taking time not to look forwards to, in my case, Eunice, the engineering graduate, with a job already lined up, looking and thinking, how do I want to feel about my life when I graduate? How do I want to feel about how my university experience went? Do I want to look back and be able to see certificate here, I got this test mark here? Or do I want to look back and think, that felt good, because I invested my time wisely and I invested my efforts into myself rather than just my books?
Definitely. I used to feel happy and successful, like you said, about feeling successful, when I worked really hard and got a really good grade in school. And that was worth something, it was. But now I think about what actually makes me happy, and it is genuinely playing Mario Kart with my flatmates. It is baking. It is being with my little sister. It is reading about politics, but not necessarily from a journal article. It's those things. And it's okay to want to build a life that allows me to enjoy those things as much as possible.
Of course, never put those passions on hold.
Exactly, because at the end of last year, there was one essay that I worked really, really hard for, and I got a really good grade, and I was pleased. But it wasn't worth any of the sacrifices of those things that might have made me happy. For some people it is, and if that makes you happy, then that is fantastic. And if I was in a position to be able to put that work in and to let it make me happy, I'd love to, but it's okay that it doesn't. It's okay to reevaluate.
I want to pick up on what we mentioned earlier, that there were three aspects of PDP discussed in Bristol Futures. Professional, so careers-based, academic, so university-based, and personal. And more people you talk to, the more I talk to both of you about it, personal unlocks the other two. You know, people talk about pushing themselves to the brink on deadlines and exams, and, you know, we're recording this in the midst of the exam period, and you see so many people so frazzled. But just building healthy habits and enjoying the things you enjoy, you know, such as Mario Kart or family or whatever, and building any academic or careers life around those two things, I think is incredibly important. Certainly, I spent my first 2 years at uni, I scraped through on a second resit for second year, And then I was just packing my days with all of these jobs and uni work and really pushing myself to the brink and be, and you know, I was well known across my, you know, in inverted commas, friendship groups in the first 2 years of uni for being socially unavailable. And then I had a year placement, which was had to do on my course, and I'm so thankful for that opportunity because it took me outside of this university bubble. I had to leave in the boring old city of Newport in South Wales. I wouldn't recommend anyone go there, but it was the perfect place for you know, me to work on the personal aspect of personal development planning, because there was nothing to distract me. I had a job, you know, where I worked 8 till 4:30. But when I left and I went home, I spent most of my evenings, especially in the summer, watching Love Island and then the Love Island extra shows and then, you know, other reality TV shows, things I hadn't done since I was about 14. And I could have time to do my ironing, which I took enjoyment of, which was mind-boggling for me at the time. I live with nurses in their 30s in a shared accommodation because I was outside a student bubble. And, you know, again, they're encouraging you to cook and do all of these things. They're like, oh, you know, Patrick, what are you doing? You know, don't eat pizza in bed. Come to the table and eat with us. And
it's also important to note that it's okay to eat pizza in bed.
Yeah. I mean, I do now. I'm outside, back in the student bubble and back to pizza.
And I'm not sure I've actually ironed anything in about a year and a half.
I'd never let myself do that. And I came back to uni in September and I can't remember feeling like, you know, how I did in first term in the first 2 years. Yeah. I suddenly, you know, knew what worked for me, knew how to be happy in myself. And I totally have blips, you know. Found kicking off again after Christmas difficult, but haven't had that year's time just to figure out my own personal methods and routines and growing from, you know, mooching in front of Love Island in June, July to, I mean, in October I'd found time in that spare time I was setting up my own website and doing little other things just for me again. But it grew from sofa bound to wanting to do things for myself and pushing myself for myself. And then I really think that once you figure out the personal side of it, which you can only do once you've left home and entered a new environment, the other two will come. But when we're at school and we're really, really successful and we leave, we don't realise that that's a thing. We don't realise that we have to learn how to look after ourselves and our minds and our bodies and figure out how to, you know, how to build the foundations for our life. And we just go straight to, I'm at university now. Yeah. I'm expecting to Definitely. Be as successful as I was.
I remember when Eunice was first talking to me about this idea and he asked me, what do you think personal development is? And honestly, I'm not entirely sure still. It's all very vague, but that's okay. Accepting that personal development is very individual and yes, it's linked to career and academic, but if that's not for you, it's not for you. Yeah. Just taking one step to think about what it is personal development, if you want it to be.
I think one of the other important sort of ways to look at it is the recording element. And then Bristol Futures talk about recording your personal development, again, from a career's point of view, you know, making sure you keep your old CVs and stuff like that. But from a personal point of view, people write diaries, but also people just make a note to yourself, think for the future. I felt rubbish when I was putting myself under pressure, you know, and why did I feel that way in that environment, in that place? And then when you look back on those times, you know, whether it's in sort of really shorthand diary form or whether it's just, you know, some people make a mental note somehow, recording that to yourself and really thinking, okay, how can I feel a little bit better? Do I need to change sort of my environment, my location, the people around me? What things really put me in the, you know, in a bad place? And taking time out of uni can achieve that, because it makes you think that the pressures of study were causing me at that time to feel terrible about myself.
Yeah.
And working in a shop or volunteering or whatever, if it makes you feel good about yourself, then record that and remind yourself that you don't have to go down a certain pathway.
Definitely.
And that you can actually, if you're feeling better doing something else, then make sure you do more of that. It's as simple as that. And if you start feeling bad about it, then stop doing it. Really listening to yourself and making sure you remember what makes you feel good.
No, I agree with everything both of you have said.
Yeah.
And I'd like to thank you, because I feel like both of your stories, Charlie and Patrick, have really summed up exactly what we want the PD project to be. Really summed up trying to dispel the myth of personal development being about not necessarily just academic, but just about achievements and about progress and about exponential growth in every aspect.
Yeah.
I think for most people, the most useful piece of personal development they could do today is just being like, I am absolutely fine with where I am now.
And if I'm in
exactly this position in a year's time, I'm not off track. There's no
vision that I need to be achieving.
Yeah.
Unless you want there to be a track. Yeah. And the track doesn't need to follow the conventional time. I know we've only got a couple of minutes left, so I hope you don't mind if I have a shameless plug. I talk about these issues and how they relate to me much more on a blog that I have, which is unironically called heartbrokendropout.wordpress.com. So just check that out. I talk about everything I've talked about here a little bit more in depth. So there we go.
No shame of the plug. You've led me on very nicely. Maybe we can link to that in the show notes.
But
also what we'll link to, and hopefully you can get involved if you're already in the blog post writing, is the PD posts. And the PD posts do seek to run alongside the PD podcast you're listening to now, to form the PD project. And again, it's more students just bringing forth whatever they feel appropriate, whatever they feel other students would benefit from hearing. And that will be available at our website. So the PD project, consisting of the PD podcast and the PD post, can be found at www.pdproject.co.uk. That is the end of the first episode. Thank you, Charlie and Patrick, for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone out there, for listening. This has been your host, Eunice Skeet. Join us hopefully next week for a PD post episode, and next fortnight at 1 p.m. on a Sunday for the next episode, where myself and again Patrick will be talking about productivity. So see you then.
Okay, thank you.
It's a different kind of pain. It's a different kind of pain. Crafting your happiness. Crafting your happiness. It's a different kind of pain.